This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Somebody had asked on the fan text line 503-864-6326 about the Seahawks draft and the Seahawks, and would we get to it? And the answer is yes, we absolutely will get to it. Seahawks had an interesting draft in that they had a lot of needs. And so just to run things down for you, we talked a bit about Gray Zabel on Friday. He was the player that they drafted on Thursday. He was their 18th overall pick, a guard from North Dakota State, championship pedigree, built like a house. We liked him. Round number two, they go to safety and Nick Amonwori, who was a really highly regarded, tested great at the combine. Round two, then they go for a tight end, which surprised a couple people. They pick Elijah Arroyo there. Third round, they get Jalen Milroe. We'll talk about him in a second. Fifth round, a defensive tackle, Riley Mills. And then still in the fifth, another wide receiver, or not another, but a wide receiver, Torrey Horton from Colorado State. Mm-hmm. You move on down. They had 3 fifth round picks. They also got a fullback, Robbie Outs, the kid from Alabama. That's a football dude.
That guy's awesome.
Damian Martinez, former Oregon State Beaver, making his way to Seattle. 7th round pick. I do think that's a steal. He's a guy
really
that could
like
absolutely there's no reason he couldn't be an NFL back.
Like
or a contributing to your run game guy. I don't know if he's the guy.
If he could have come out of Oregon State last year, he's a day two guy probably. Possibly at the very worst, a very early day three guy.
What did he just get banged up? What happened to him? Why did
his
stock fall?
Miami just didn't really use him the same way. Oregon State had one guy and it was him. And like, look, I get it. Fenwick was good too. It was very clear Martinez was better, right? And so he was going to get the bulk of the carries. And so Martinez really shined at Oregon State. At Miami, they wanted to shine Cam Ward. And frankly, they had to shine Cam Ward because that defense was horrific.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to keep up with teams knowing they're going to score every single time, you have to score every time. So yeah, he got banged up a little bit, but I think it was more so about philosophy. And that's what kids have to be careful of when they transfer. The grass isn't always greener, not necessarily from an NIL standpoint or a skill set standpoint, but from a philosophy standpoint.
Yeah. And I think, and just to round out their draft, the two more picks in the 7th round, they take a tackle guard combo, Mason Richmond from Iowa, and then they take Ricky White, a wide receiver out of UNLV. But I think the consensus here is that at least the first two picks, Zabel and Amonwori, should have immediate impacts right away, probably some other guys as well. But the one that probably drew the most attention was them drafting Jalen Milroe, not just because it went ahead of Shedeur Sanders, but because he was a guy they were potentially connected to. And the quarterback situation in Seattle is interesting right now because of the fact that Darnold's contract is so team friendly, is that if he is not the guy, you can move off of him quickly. And if you decide you're going to do that, what are your options? There was a lot of positive things said about Jalen Milroe and the tools that he brings to the table, his athleticism specifically. Mm-hmm. Rop talked last week about how some NFL talent evaluators were calling him the best running quarterback they've ever seen. That includes Lamar Jackson and Michael Vick and guys like that. And so that's ridiculously high praise, but he's really raw. And we saw that in college too, is that he doesn't necessarily always look great going through his progressions, or his ball isn't always accurate, but he's a dude and he's a phenomenal athlete. And it seems like a spot where clearly it's Darnold's team this year, but the future's a little bit up in the air. And I didn't really know much about Milroe other than what I've seen from him playing football, but I came across this anecdote about what his meetings were like with the Seahawks and with other franchises. I thought it was interesting. It says, quote, "One of the teams asked Jalen Milroe a series of questions about what he was really good at. And then he said they asked him what he could get better at. And his answer was, 'How much time do you have?' And the guy goes, 'We're sitting there interviewing Jalen Milroe, and he's telling us all the areas that he's working on right now.' To which this team said, 'Are you concerned? Are you not concerned pointing those things out to us and that they would concern us. And he basically said to them, you should be concerned with any guy that comes in this room and hasn't played a down of NFL football and tells you that they don't have any weaknesses or that he isn't working on them. Plus, it's an insult to you because it means he doesn't think you know how to watch film.
I love it. I love it. I think it's a fantastic answer. I don't know that it will necessarily pay off. I know what my weak points were as a football player. I'm not still playing football.
It just, in contrast to all the Shadur stuff, right. there was so much gravitas there from him and self-awareness and understanding of, I'm going to have to come and improve myself and I realize I'm a work in progress, that
right.
whether or not he ends up being the guy for Seattle, that's a great start.
Also remember, like, this is the same guy who at the beginning of his career, he got benched.
Yeah.
He had two poor performances, so Saban benched him. Alabama looked a lot worse without him, and then he came back and he turned himself into frankly, one of the best quarterbacks in college football. Like, if he doesn't go off against LSU both years, they don't win those games. If he doesn't look awesome in the first half against Georgia, they don't win that football game.
Yeah.
They barely lost to a Michigan team in Saban's final year. They took him to OT in the Rose Bowl because of how well Jalen Milroe played. Now, don't get me wrong. He has issues, specifically accuracy issues in the mid and short game, and those are things that he has to improve. But it's clear what Seattle is doing. They went out and said, what are our positions of need? It's offensive line, needed some players in the secondary, needed a defensive lineman, and needed a quarterback. And then they said, who's the most athletic in that group? And we're going to take them, and we're going to trust that our coaches are going to be able to turn them into all-star, Pro Bowl, all pro type of players. And Jalen Milroe is the ultimate boomer bust in my eyes. I view him almost exactly the same way I view Anthony Richardson.
Sure.
And it's why I'm very thankful that Seattle didn't take Anthony Richardson 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, when he came out in his draft. And that is because with the amount of athleticism that he has running the ball and the clear arm strength, he has a boom potential unlike most QBs we've seen. He also has a very low, low floor. And if he's unable to become more accurate or be able to read defenses quicker, or he's in the wrong system, the league will eat him up. But it's a much different proposition when you draft the guy at 92 than when you draft the guy at 5 or 6, whatever Anthony Richardson was taken. So I love that that's Milroe's philosophy. I love where Seattle took him. He is going to be used this year. Watch for him to have a low red zone package where they use him in the plus one run game, right? And then you are going to see within the next 2 or 3 years if they can develop him as a passer to where he can be the starter. Because it's clear that they don't view Sam Darnold as the long, long-term solution. They view him as Mr. Right now, not Mr. Right.
Right, absolutely. I think that's a really solid evaluation of him. And I was going to say something else that just brought to us on the text line right now. That was that I get that McDonald is a defensive guy, but even with Lamar Jackson, he was able to see on the other side of the ball just how much that can stress a defense. I absolutely think that played a factor. Seeing, you know what kind of havoc a guy can cause is good for me and is good for our team. And so maybe he turns into that guy, maybe he doesn't. But at that point in the draft, I think that's a great opportunity to pick up a lottery ticket on a guy that looks like he might actually have some physical tool ability to turn into something.
He's the type of guy too. And McDonald was there in Baltimore where, you know, Lamar has evolved as a passer.
Definitely.
But Lamar, when he came out, his issues were in that accuracy standpoint. He ran the ball early on, not because of how skilled he was as a runner necessarily, but because he had to. His passing wasn't there yet. Lamar as a passer has evolved so much over the past 2 years to the point where in his last contract extension, he said, you have to let me pass more because I've gotten better at those things. And it's why he's won multiple MVPs. The first MVP he won because of his legs.
Yes.
The second one he won because of his arms.
Yep.
And Jalen Milroe is a bigger version of Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
You're also looking at Jalen Hurts. He just won the Super Bowl MVP. He's been to two Super Bowls, and in both of those, he outplayed someone that we're talking about potentially being the greatest of all time.
Well, and he's a guy spot. That people have knocked his accuracy and his throwing ability, and even not being the very best in his field at those things, he's good enough with his athleticism, mm-hmm. with his ability to read the defenses, to help his team and put them in a position
right.
to be havoc for opposing defenses and to win that Super Bowl. So yep. are we saying that Jalen Milroe is Lamar or Jalen Hurts?
No.
Not at all.
No.
But at least he has a physical tool set that with the right coaching, and if he's able to pick it up, maybe gets you to that point someday.
And he seems to have the right mindset. Like when you look at Lamar, when you look at Jalen Hurts, it's the same mindset, just a little bit different. Lamar's a little more out there with what he's going to say, where Hurts is a little more quiet confidence. But I keep drawing back to the Hurts comp, and I know it's not completely fair, but they both got coached by Nick Saban. And both of them at different points in their career got benched by Nick Saban. And they made the most of it. And now Milroe was able to make it work in Alabama. And Hurts, he made the most of it. He was a backup for a year. He went somewhere else. And he's clearly taken a step forward and has made the most of everything going on in his career. With the answers that Milroe was able to give, he clearly has the right mindset. He clearly has the athletic ability. Now it is all up to Seattle. Can they make a system that best fits him? And if they can't, you burned a third-round pick on him. It's not the end of the world.